Good evening, everyone. When I made up the topic, I actually wasn't even sure what I was thinking about. But I figured, are you ready? It's always we could fit a lot of things into it. And it was actually very interesting to see the response that we got for are you ready. All I told Rabbi Singer is to write on the sign, are you ready? Anybody that saw the signs obviously realized that the secretary decided that it means are you ready for Lag BaOmer, because she put a Lag BaOmer sign on it. There are others that assumed that are you ready means Shavuos, of course, Kabbalas HaTorah, you ready for Kabbalas HaTorah. There are others that thought are you ready for Mashiach. There's others that really want to know are you ready for the Heat games. Everybody had their own interpretations of when they heard the words are you ready. So I'd like to actually put most of those are you ready into and explain a few different concepts. Besides, I don't know if I'm going to get to the Heat game. But the truth is there's two types of are you ready. There's something, a person has to be ready at all times for anything. There's that type of ready. He's ready for anything. Anything that happens, anything that comes up, he's ready for that. And then there's big things that come up that you have to prepare yourself and get yourself ready for a certain situation. There's certain situations are coming up, you know are coming up. And you have to go ahead and prepare yourself, and the more you prepare yourself for it, the more you will get out of it. Everybody knows every yontif, the more you prepare for a yontif, the more you get out of it. You don't prepare for it, you won't get out of it. I don't mean the food survive. I mean the gashmis is like that also. If you prepare the food, you'll get you get more food. But the same way as in ruchnis, if the more you work for a yontif, the more you prepare for a yontif, the more you will get out of it. But there are certain situations where they're not really predictable, and you have to be ready for those situations also. Different situations come up, different yisyonos comes up, and a person has to be ready for each one. So how do you get yourself ready? How does one get ready for both situations? Some situations that come up, and situations that you know are coming up, and they're intertwined one in the other. I heard of art, I can't repeat, I don't remember who it said, I think I heard it from Rabbi Schmelzer actually, about Korach. The question is how and why did he get to the Madrego which he got to. To be able to go be kleifer on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brought it was from a drush from some Purushim. I don't remember exactly the details, but basically he said that he didn't have a lot of nisyonos. He got to very high madrigas, but it wasn't through fighting nisyonos and continuously going up with nisyonos. And because of that, a person is not used to having nisyonos and winning them over, then even if he could be on a high madrig, he could go fall very fast. So how does one get himself ready for any situation that would come up? You know, if of course, everybody knows if you're not ready for something, the smallest thing can knock you down. You know, they say that with Houdini, he was a big he's a big magician, and you were able to do different tricks. And one of his tricks was you were able to punch him as hard as you could, hard as you wanted, and nothing would happen to him. You try to punch as hard as you want. And this is what they say, I don't know if it's documented exactly where, but when I was a kid, this is what everybody was saying, that whatever, how did he die? And he said, okay, fine, he told somebody to go ahead and you should punch him. And before he was fully ready for the thing, the guy gave him a blow, and that's what eventually caused his death. Because he wasn't fully prepared for this situation. So if you're not fully ready for any situation, the smallest blow could really knock you down. So how do you get yourself ready? So that's the Bali Musa bring one of the ways how you can prepare yourself when you're doing this is by with your Yisur Samachshav, your Dimyon, your imagination. Your imagination is a very powerful tool. They say a person can start thinking and daydreaming about something, and he's really living in that situation. Everyone, someone can start thinking about something, and also tears to start coming to his eyes. Start crying about what he was. Nothing happened. Nothing. It was just dreaming about something. He was thinking about something, and what happens? All his emotion, his whole body's there, and he could start crying. Or he could start. You see a guy, all of a sudden starts laughing. He's like, "What are you laughing?" I thought of such a situation that would happen. It's like, "Okay, but that didn't happen. You didn't see it." No, but with your imagination, you put yourself into that situation. You're really there. You're living it, and since you're living it, so that way you could imagine you are there. And so, what does that help? So if a person goes ahead and thinks about different situations that could come up in life, someone bothered him really badly and he didn't answer back. So in your imagination, you have a much easier time fighting back for it. because it's just an imagination, really. But and you're, it's not real life. But once you mastered it, you imagine the guy mom slapped you in front of everybody. You just kept quiet, didn't say anything to him. So once you have that in your head and you're already sort of quote unquote lived through it, so that itself is a very powerful tool to be able to withstand it when it really could happen. So just sitting down, that's the musr, to sit down and think about what would happen in this mountain, how am I going to handle a situation like this, and someone tells me that, how am I going to do it back and forth. Thinking it through beforehand and living it beforehand, that's a very, very, very good tool to be able to fight on your side. But that's very good for a lot of situations, but there are come up situations which it just you didn't dream, in your wildest dream, that's going to happen. The famous story with Reb Moshe, that Reb Moshe Feinstein was being led into a car. And of course, Derech Eretz, the person opens the door for him, Reb Moshe goes inside, sits down, and the person didn't realize that Reb Moshe's fingers were still by the door, and the person closed the door shut. And little did he know that he closed it on Reb Moshe's finger. And Reb Moshe didn't blink, didn't say anything, nothing. Nothing came out, an ouch came out of his mouth. Nothing. And they drove down until where it had to go, and they opened it up. Opened the door again, they saw that Reb Moshe's finger was smashed into a few pieces. How did he do it? He thought of it before to say, you know what, if something happens next time, someone slams the door shut on my finger, I'm going to be quiet, make sure not to say, you're right, if you would have done it, it definitely make it easy, but you can't dream of such a situation. The story with Chavetz Chaim, that I heard it from a waxman, that what happened was, Chavetz Chaim was going around with his farm, he was selling his farm, he sold a lot of his farm, and someone came over to him and said, listen, I have some money, I want to donate money. I want to give you money for tzedakah to help you out. I want to help you out, but I only have a $50 bill. I want to give $20. Can you give me change of a $20? So Chavetz Chaim says, listen, I don't want donations. I go around selling my farm. I don't want any donations. I'm good. He said, no, please. I really want to help Talmud Chacham. And it's mamish. I really want to donate something. He says, no. So he says, you know what? Can I give money to the yeshiva at least? So he said, okay, you want to give money to the yeshiva? That's fine. I can give a donation to the yeshiva. So he said, but I only have a $50 ruble bill. I need change. I can only afford to give you 20 of it. So he says, okay, fine. He had his sack of money that he made all, he was going around selling his farm for a few months, for a week, whatever he was doing. And his sack of about 400 ruble. And he had change in there. So he says, okay, fine. So he pulls out his sack of 400 ruble, and as soon as he pulled out the sack, the guy comes, grabs the money, and runs. He was waiting the whole time for him. He wasn't really watching. All he wanted was to pull. He should pull the sack. He pulled the sack. He decides to run. Chavetz Chaim goes running after him. Says, "I'm moichal you. It's fine. You can have it. It's a matana. It's not gzeila. It's a matana. It's not gzeila. You can have it. It's a matana." So Rex was saying, "Okay, a lot of things you can learn from this story." A lot of things you can learn from the story. He says, you could see obviously straw, you could see... But he said it was... The Chavetz Chaim didn't get flustered for a second. It wasn't like the guy just stole his weeks or months worth of work. He didn't get flustered for a second. The first thing he was thinking of, I want to make sure not even Xayla, and the problem is nothing should not be even Xayla. So where do you have such a kaya? I wouldn't think a dream of doing such a thing. When would you start dreaming to be such a situation? It's like I just stole your month's worth of work, and on your head, you go ahead and give me boichel the person. He says, how can you have the ability to be able to withstand such nisyonos? So, the truth is that one of the ways to be able to do it, which really borderlines on the whole sugya of nekudas habechira, is really to make it that it's not a nisyon. One of these that you make it, it's not your sign. It's not the only time you have a problem is of your sign. You want your question to do it, not to do it. But if it's not your sign, one side is so obvious to you, then it's of course this is what you do. There's no other choice. They say that in the early 1900s, the Nisayon Shabbos was great. Everybody had the problem. Nisayon Shabbos, people would come off the Mamash Shabbos. People would come to America, and why would you get off the boat after a few weeks of losing the job, 1 week after another week of losing, every Friday they lose the job, they couldn't withstand the nisoyon of Shabbos. And this was, it happens to hundreds, if not thousands, of yin, that they were pushed, they would cry every time they would go to work on Shabbos. Their mom was so sad, they love Shabbos, but they couldn't, they had to feed their family, there's no way you could do it. So, my grandfather was born in America, in 1912 about, I remember, something like that. And he told me, you know, Christ asked him what happened with Shabbos, he says, oh, Shabbos, of course, Shabbos. He says, wasn't his son Shabbos? He says, It wasn't an option. It's not like, what do you mean Nisoyon Shabbos? It was Shabbos. You didn't work. He said, you got fired a few times. But it was never Nisoyon for him. It was never like another tzad. Maybe I should work. Maybe I shouldn't work. And then he says, no. You know, I'm gonna overcome it again this time. And then, of course, you know, just don't work. He said, it was like, jump off the roof. Yeah, I could jump off the roof. Said, but I'm not jumping off the roof. It's not one of the stars. It's not one of my options. It's not something I'm thinking of doing. Said, by him, keeping Shabbos, it was, of course, you keep Shabbos. Okay, well, I don't know. How are we going to manage? I don't know. We'll manage that. I don't know. But that's not one of the options, not one of the cards to be able to say, someone's looking for a job. They're not going to say, you know what, I'll go work in a monastery. Say, you know, it's good pay and it's good benefits and everything else. I'll try it. Nobody's thinking about it. That's not on the cards. It's not on one of the labels. Not one thing he's thinking about. So if a person makes every nisoyon into not a nisoyon, then everything becomes much easier. The whole outlook is a whole different outlook. I heard a cute story, which it fits in a little bit, but it's this concept that someone could do something, and it's just being done because there was no other option. This is just a simple way, even though it could look a little funny. So there's a story, I don't remember names, so therefore I'm not gonna remember who this was, but it was a Malamed in Russia. And this was in the time of the Tsars that they would teach normal, and then afterwards they wanted to grab all the kids and stuff, and so they were hiding in the caves. They would go into the caves, into the wood, wherever they were, and they would go and they would, that's where they would learn. And this was Lama Masha, he was a ball of fire. He was sitting there teaching. He was a fire, and he was sitting there teaching. He was in the middle of a taisvus, and walking away, his mom was knocking away with the taisvus, and all of a sudden, they hear footsteps, and soldiers are coming in. And the Tsar soldiers come, and they come marching inside. I said, what's going on? What's happening over here? The guy comes up, slaps him across the cup, the Malamed goes ahead, slaps the soldier across the face, and what are you here? The guy, mom, they grabbed him and put him in jail. The whole town was up in evil. Slapped the soldier. What? Slapped the soldier. He says, what are you doing? And because they pulled all sorts of strings and they worked with the bribes and everything, the whole community was busy trying to get him out of jail. But finally, they got him out. They managed to get him out and they saved him. So the Rav goes over to him and says, what were you thinking? He says, what were you thinking? He said, what, soldier coming, slap him. He says, I don't know. He says, I was in the middle of a taisvus. A guy comes in here, starts to disturb me. He says, I don't know, slap him. What are you doing? I'm in the middle of a taisvus. I'm just not trying. Stop disturbing him. It wasn't like he was thinking, dude, should I do it, should I do it? There was no other option. The guy's in here, you're middle place, the guy walks in, get out of here. What are you doing? And that was, the Torah was so clear by him, there was nothing, no other option. So he had to slap you, you're disturbing the situation. But in case he said, the way to be able to conquer the Nisyon is simply by making it that it's not a choice. There's no other choice. You keep pushing up. That's called Mekidin Nekudas HaBechira. The Michtam Leo speaks about it. That a person has a place where some things are choices and some things are not choices. You have an option, you don't have an option. And some things you just don't do. And some things that maybe and that's when you sign it. A person has to keep pushing up what he's in his signing star. What are your choices? And how do you do that? So that's with Avos Hashem. Loving Hashem and doing His will. He said, wanting to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. If your rasa, your will, your whole will is to do what Hashem wants, then what do you mean you're saying? I want to do what Hashem wants me to do. So if I want to do it, saying means I want one thing. The right thing to do is something else. So therefore I go ahead and I have to go and argue, and I have to go fight against my will to do the rasa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if somebody has the right love for Hashem, he has the right avos Hashem, and he loves Hashem so much, he just wants to do whatever Hashem wants. love you, throw an offering, inspire for my Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says you always want to do what Hashem wants. Since that's my will, my rotus, that's not inside anymore. I have no shayla. What do I want to do? I want to do what Hashem wants. Therefore, it's to any situation which I'm in, and it's so ingrained in you, any situation you're in, the automatic thing is to do what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want. And if so, then there's no other choice. All you have to do is do what Hashem wants. But Rashi Rosh used to say, people say when they want to eat something, when they want to learn, when they have to learn, they say, I got to learn. I got to learn. So when it comes to eat, they don't say, I got to eat. It says, I want to eat. So when it comes to learning, you say, I got to, this is what I got to do. I have to learn. When it comes to eating, he says, I want to eat something. This is what I want. That's what I want. So it should be the exact opposite. So when it comes to eating, you eat because I have to eat. This is what I got to do. When it comes to learning, it should be, I want to learn. And the person has the right avos Hashem, and the real Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he wants to do is really the main thing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, which is Limud HaTorah. And that really, through Limud HaTorah, that's the way to bring out the real avos Hashem. And that's what it segues right into Lag BaOmer. Because what happened? What's the whole story with the Shimon Bar Yochai? So of course there's the Gemara and Lamed Gimel Amud Beis in Shabbos, which is very famous, that Lag BaOmer happens to be the Gemara which we speak about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which is the Lamed Gimel. But there's a story in the Gemara over there, a very famous story, that Rabbi Yehuda was speaking. He was speaking with Rabbi Yossi and Shimon Bar Yochai, and he started saying how great the goyim are. He said, "Listen, they're so great. They make us shuk, and they make us marketplaces. They make bridges for us. They make bathhouses for us. We really got to know they're really nice guys. They do such great things for us." And Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Dad, what are you talking about?" Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Dad, they make marketplaces for Zionists, they make bridges for tolls. Anybody who wants a horizontal bridge or any bridges in New York will know that their bridges are not made for anything but tolls. I think it went to $15 on the Verrazano. But and the bathhouses to make themselves more beautiful. So it's nothing to do with them." So the word got out, and the government found out about it. They wanted the Rabbi Yehuda got since he spoke about the goyim so nicely, they pushed him out. Rabbi Yossi, since he didn't say anything, they put him to Golas. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they wanted to kill. I'm glad I heard a soft shot. That this thing that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stood up and said, no, the goyim are really different. They're not doing it for themselves. The Jews do good, and the goyim, they're not. Whatever they do, they're just doing it for themselves. So that's Pshat, so we always think Bayer Chaim Shachta, Shemin Sosin Chavirech. What's a Shemin Sosin? So where does he see that he was in Shachta? He got Nimshach with Shemin. Where does Shemin come into Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? The Kohen Gadol got Shemin. Where does Shemin come in by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? He says, because this Nekudah says Shemin is the only thing that doesn't mix with water. Nothing, all other liquids, they can mix each other together, but oil doesn't mix with anything else. It says, Nimshata Shemin Sasim Chavrech. So your friends, you had more Shemin. You appreciate this Nikud of separation between the Goyim and the Yidden, Mechavrecha, more than the rest of your friends, which then were praising the Goyim and saying as if they're doing something for us. And it's something that we should get close to for. But whatever the case is, he got ran away. So the Gemara says, which I think is a very pretty straight thing, he says he ran to the Beis Medrash, which I'm not sure why the Goyim didn't figure out to look for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the Beis Medrash. But in any case, they couldn't figure out exactly where he was. And his daughter used to bring him food all the time, and then it got more tight, things were getting more tight, and they were scared that she said, Noshim Daikim Kalas, and therefore were scared that maybe they're going to press her and she's going to snitch where they are. So they ran to the cave, the famous cave from Mishim Rayachai, over there they had the whole nace, had a kruv, they had a boxer tree that grew over there, which represents, their boxer represents the most minimum amount of food. They were eating as much, trying to get the least out of Olam Hazeh as possible, and had water. And while they were learning, they would put themselves in the sand. They would take off their clothes in order that they shouldn't get ruined. And they put themselves in the sand. And they would sit there. They were there for 12 years. And until Eliyahu HaNavi came by, and he said, "Who's going to tell Shimon Bar Yochai that the Tsar he died? And once the Tsar died, all the decrees were nullified, and therefore he's safe to go out." So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son were in the cave, and they, after 12 years, they go out, And they see people plowing, they see people harvesting and doing their daily chores, and he says, what, they're not learning? Burnt it up. Says with the Kedusha, it says Kedusha, they burnt up the whole thing. And those he passed by, and they're burning up the whole place. So Basco comes out and says, wait, you're coming here to destroy my whole my whole land? Get back into the cave for 12 months, because that's Gehenna. Gehenna is for 12 months. Go into the cave for another 12 months. And he went out for a cave in front of 12 months, and they saw what was going on, so back and forth, they were trying to think until they saw a Jew that was walking, some old Jews walking with the two things of Adasim. They asked him, what's it for? He says, for Shabbos. He says, that's good, that's one. So what are you two for? He says, one for Shomer, one for Zohar. And he said, okay, fine. Look how great the mitzvahs on Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of questions exactly. Why were they burning it up? Why? What is it all? If he was all upset about the whole situation that was going on, what's like these two Adasim going, Shomer for Zohar? Well, what do you need two? Only because he had two Adasim for Shomer Zohar, that's why he was happy. But there's a lot of different explanations of what's going on. But the question, why was he burning everything up? What was on? People were working. So what was he all upset about? So they bring down that it's Betzim, it's Shimba Echai L'Shitase, because well-known machloikis between Reb Shimon bar Yochai and Reb Shmuel, the Gemara in Brachos, that Reb Shimon bar Yochai says that Reb Shmuel said that it says there's a stira. There's a contradictory. He says the pasuk says v'asaf d'ganecha, you have to harvest, you have to work, you have to do your business, and the pasuk says v'yamush torah p'shemi picha. You can't have Torah leaving you. You can't. You have to have it. Torah has to stay with you. So it's a steer. Which one? You have to work, or you have to make sure that the Torah doesn't go away. Which one do you have to do? So Rabbi Shmuel says Hanik Boy Milacher. The person has to work, but he has to learn, but he has to work in order to be able to get his parnasa. He has to have Derech Eretz. That's how he answers up the contradiction. He says the person you write has to make sure the Torah doesn't go away, but in the meantime he brings Torah into his business and he makes his business into a Torah business. As he's working, he thinks about Torah. As every move that he does, he could govern Al Pi Torah. So how do you work with your business in a proper way, and through that you're able to do both things. You have the Torah and you have your working. Shimon Chai says no. He says, how is it possible? A guy's going to be working when it's time to, a guy's going to be plowing, time to plow, he's going to harvesting when time to harvest. It's Torah Matei, what's going to be with the Torah? So he says, "Oh, my, what do you do?" He says, "Over here, we do what Kosh Baruch Hu wants." Then it says, "Your work will be done through other people, and you can just sit and learn and don't have any worries." But when you're not doing Hashem's Ratzon, then you have to asaf ganecha. Then you got to do your own work. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not supplying everything. It's not happening all by itself. You have to work yourself. So Tosis asks, since the pasuk was asaf ganecha, Tosis asks with a steer from somewhere else, but the other asks is asaf ganecha is the pasuk of Vahayim Shemaya. So what is it? Vahayim Shemaya Tishmu, you'll listen to the Vahayim Hashem Echim Tzavcha. You love Hashem. And then you're doing what Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you're listening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you love Hashem. Then you'll have rain, you'll have plenty, everything will be great. And then you'll have ganecha. So how could you be small? Go ahead and say that v'asafti ganecha is going with loy oyasim retzenu shemakom and not doing the ratzon Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That pasuk is very clear that they're listening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. They're doing what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants. So Tosis says, the Lashon of Tosis is that they're not doing what Soinei Kol Kach. The Eidim Tzadikim Gurim. They're not doing it so much that they're not Tzadikim Gurim. So they explain it a little further. He says, they say that there's two parashas. The first parasha Shema and the second parasha Shema. The first parasha Shema is the Lashon Yochid. Second parasha Shema, everything is you, singular. But the next everything is in the Lashon plural. He says, why? He says, because the Gemara finishes up in saying that Harbe Osu Rabbi Shmuel, but also be Yadam. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but also be Yadam. A lot of them did like Rabbi Shmuel, and it worked for them. Rabbi Shmuel, he said they worked, and they did, they learned, and they implemented the learning into their work, and everything worked out fine. He said, but a lot that did it for like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai did not work out. So he explained that what it means is that that's the way your setup is supposed to be. He said the majority is really supposed to be that they're asaf de ganecha, they learn and they implement their learning into their work and they continue working. And there's a miut, if you're trying to do harbe, can't do it. But the miut have a right to be able to sit and they keep the pasuk of Le'yom Ishtar Yitzhashem Picha and Melachta Nazarechem, the work gets done according to somebody else. He said, if you notice, besides the Lashon Yachid and the Lashon Rabbim, the singular and the plural, between the first parasha and the second parasha, there's another word. When we say, it says one more thing, v'chol mo'idecha. In the v'hoyim shemoya, it doesn't say v'chol avchem, v'chol nafshachem, but it doesn't say v'chol mo'idechem. It doesn't say all your money. He says, what's the difference? He says, because Rav Shimon bar Yochai was going with the first pasuk. A person that loves Hashem with all his heart, everything, and all his money, we say he doesn't care about any money. The only thing he wants, the only singular will that he has is only Ratzon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only love for Hashem. He doesn't care about anything else. Then after you're just learning the whole time. Doesn't say anything about working. Doesn't say what's after Ganecha. Because a person which is the whole Ratzon, his whole will, the only thing that he wants, anything, his heart, his soul, and not even money, doesn't want anything. Besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves Hashem more than all that, then he's just v'shinantem levanecha dibar tabam v'shiv tachav v'yisechav v'lach tachav v'derech without v'osaf v'ganecha v'sirishchav v'yitzarecha. But if the rabbim, which is v'hoyim shemoy tishmu v'yisil v'avchem v'chol nafshachem, but don't say v'chol milachem, they love Hashem, they want to do what Hashem wants, but they still also have their own will, they have their own ritzonis, their own agendas. So then, you're right. It's going to be it's very good. So say, "Baruch Hu, give us brachas," because we're still doing the mitzvahs. We're still doing what we're supposed to do. But it's lacking that lo yoisim ritzonim kol kach. It's not so much HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. They also have their will and their thing. It's not b'chol mo'idecha. Then, if it's on that level, then you have to come on to v'osafta deganecha v'sir shchavi tzarecha. That's where they bring down the Shem Bar Yochai really got to the madrega of Adam Arishon Kodem Achet. Because that's really the madrega of Melachtecha Nasi Al Ne'achem, that your work can be done through other people, is Adam. That's what happened to Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon, before he did the sin, he was in Gan Eden, and everything was being done for him. He had the Malachim were giving him food, serving him, and they were all taking care of him. Everything he wanted was all in his. Everything he wanted was being done through everything else. After he sinned, after there was a chet of Adam Rishon, then they had the call of Bezeh Sapecha Toich Alechem. But a Jew has the ability really to lift himself up and bring it past that level, and bring it that. It, when he takes it all his will, everything he wants, Dost Rakash Baruch Hu, then he can get onto the level of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, onto that level, and then get onto Malach Techonas Dechem to have that other people are going to do it, and you could just sit and learn the whole time. And you say that that's Pshat, why he took off his clothes when he was learning. When he was in the cage, it said that he took off his clothes and he went and he learned in the sand. So this was Pshat. So the Gemara said that his clothes shouldn't get ruined. So they bring down that Pshat is because Adam Rishon Kodem Achet didn't have clothes. Therefore, since he got into Madrig of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, he only had to close after he sinned. Then he needed to have the outside clothing. Therefore, since he got into Madrig of Adam Rishon Kodem Achet, therefore he took off his clothes. And he said, that's why there was a minig to burn clothing on Lag BaOmer in Miron. So a lot that came against this. Batashkes, the whole back and forth of Chesefer, I'm not going to get involved in that, but one of the explanations they say is because he took off his clothing. So Sayyidipa said to show the level that he in his clothes, he got into that, Shem Echad was on that level, Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. So they burned clothing to bring out that that Madrega. So if a person wants, we see that the level of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, according to the little bit of our understanding, is this madriga of just wanting to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, just being on that level, that all I want, nothing, nothing else, I have nothing else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all I want, that's my whole will, that's my whole ratzon. So if a person wants to tap into the kedusha of Lak Ba'omer, they say that it's a little bit of another Matan Torah. Say that Lak Ba'omer is gematria Moshe, and that's why. So that's a chassidim answer. Why, you know, the big kash everyone wants to know. It's the chassidim always say Laimer, Yemecha Laimer, Yemstei Yamin Laimer. Also, when it comes to Lak Ba'omer, everybody says Lak Ba'omer. No one's saying Lak Laimer. How come? Say, because in order to work out the gematria of Moshe, you have to say Lak Ba'omer. So therefore, that's how they answer up that shayla. But otherwise, and everybody, they bring down that Purim always comes out the same time, at same day as Lag BaOmer, because Purim is also the Purim was Hadar Kiblu Amelech Asher, which is also Kabbal Sater of Teru Shabal Peh, the Kabbal Sater of just of the oral law, and they say that's really the Koyach of Shem Baichai, which he got from Rabbi Kiva. Was they say Rabbi Kiva was the what Moshe Rabbeinu down at Teru Shabal Peh, Rabbi Kiva was for Teru Shabal, with Moshe Rabbeinu with Teru Shabal Chtav, Rabbi Kiva was the Teru Shabal Peh, which is the Shimon Bar Yochai's Rebbe, and that's the koyches of Teru Shabal Peh and this Galon Lak Ba'omer. But a person wants to tap into this and these koyches, so we use the koyches that we have of how. But how did the, from what we see of how Shimon Bar Yochai got to where he got from wanting to do the Ratzon Hashem and only drive was Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that way we could get a little bit towards it, prepare ourselves for Lag BaOmer. And really, that's the same lesson we see by Shavuos. The same thing, this could also get straight into Shavuos. Because what am I Shavuos? What's the big thing? Shavuos, everybody knows, Nasa V'Nishma. Everybody has Nasa V'Nishma. How are you going to be able to do what Nasa we can do before we're here? You can't do something before you're here. So there's a lot of explaining what's that that they did say, able to say Nasa V'Nishma, because they want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It doesn't make a difference what it is. I don't care, I want to do what Hashem wants. Whatever Hashem wants, that's what I want to do, so I'm able to do it. That's all the rust, and that was showed the great Ava that they had, and that was the Ava they got to Tuksarim, through the fact that they said Nasa V'Nishma. And really, that's some explain that was the big fall by the Chet HaEgel. Because they said after the Chet HaEgel, they took these crowns of Nasa V'Nishma. What does Nasa V'Nishma have to do with the Chet HaEgel? So some that explain that Pshat is because why? What happened by his Nisayon? What happened Chet HaEgel? And was Moshe Rabbeinu says he's coming down after 40 days. He goes up to Shemayim. He doesn't come down. The Malachim make a big stink in the sky, showing that there's a funeral for Moshe Rabbeinu, a levai for Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the people come around, they're stealing, taking some gold, they throw into fire, miraculously comes a golden calf, comes out and is talking and walking. They say he's eating, a gold calf is eating, mamish, miraculously. So, of course, it seems pretty logical. They're not making it for Yazar, just that you should follow him. It sounds like Akash Bochum made a nace right in front of their eyes, and he sees Moshe Rabbeinu dead, so of course they should follow it. So what was the problem that they followed the Chet HaEgel? So because by Novi Sheker, the Pasuk says that why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu send the Navi Sheker? What he does is, he comes along, makes miracles, makes different Nisim, and he says, come, let's go do Averis. And the Pasuk says, you should not follow him. And the Pasuk is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to us? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us someone that can make real miracles? Not fake, real miracles. Not like some magic trick pulling a rabbit out of his hat. The real stuff. And he more brings down, he takes the sun and brings it down. He said, they're real, real things. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it? It says because to see if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is testing us to see do we love Hashem or not. What does that mean? That is testing us to see if we love Hashem. Because if somebody loves something very much, I would give a marshal, says if someone has someone has to get amputated. First, get amputated Hashem. So he comes to the doctor, oh yeah, for us to be amputated. Okay, for sure, chop it off. I said, of course not. Yeah. He's going to go take a second opinion, a third opinion, make sure, investigate to make sure there's really no other option. You can't do anything else. You got to do something. You must be. He makes sure before he gets it done, he makes sure there is no other option. So if someone loves Hashem enough, he has the right avos Hashem, he's going to make sure before he has to go do Averis, because he doesn't want to do Averis. He wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. He wants to do Hashem. Before anybody comes and tells him, oh, you got to do this Averis, you got to go do Averis Zara, he's going to make sure this Navi is a real Navi. He's going to somehow figure it out. The guy could be doing miracles from today to tomorrow. He says he's somehow going to make sure he finds out exactly if this Navi Sheker is not. So the same thing happened by the Chet HaEgel. Same, that was the same problem. So what happened was, Klal Yisrael got into Madrega of Nasa V'Nishma, the highest Madrega that they're willing to Kabbalah. How are they doing this Kabbalah? How are they accepting the whole Torah? That's only the fact that they're Mavato, any other Ratzin. Their only will, their one will was what? Just to do the Ratzin Hashem. That's the only thing they wanted to do. Just the Ratzin Hashem, they're saying, Nasa V'Nishma. Just, we're going to do what? Whatever you tell us, that's what we're going to do. I don't care what it is. I just want to do what you want me to do. And but Chet HaEgel, if they would have kept that Madrega of that Avod, just that we want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, there wouldn't have been no Chet HaEgel. Because they would have figured out something. We love Hashem, we would say, I don't know what happened, you're right. There's something going on in the sky over there, and there's something eating, there's some golden calf eating up stuff. I got you, but I don't know, I want to do what Hashem wants, I'm going to make sure to figure out what's different. And could be that's one of the reasons why we stay up Shavuos night. Because why would someone stay up Shavuos a whole night doing something? Time to go to bed. What's he staying up till? Only time someone stays up because he really badly wants to do something. When I was a kid, I would stay up till, I think the World Series was always going on. I think it was like a 3-hour difference. And it was, I think it was like in the 15th inning or something. And I was up. You got to listen to the game. It says something that you want to do. It says, because why? Something that you want to do, you'll stay up the whole night doing it. Because that's what I want. And you just have a hard time going to sleep. So that's why we stay up. We want to show our Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what we want. We'll stay up the whole night learning. Because we got to figure this out. We want to do what we want to know. This is what we want to do. We want our love is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants most, which is Limud HaTorah. So, if we want to properly prepare ourselves and make sure that we are ready, we have to work on Avas Hashem, look at the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, how much we want to do back for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can do back, but we want to try to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us. And that we'll be ready for any new sign that comes up. And we could tap into to the Lag Baomer of Shimon Bar Yochai, which his whole Ratzin is was to do the Ratzin Hashem. And he said, "Oisim Ratzin Shalom." That's how we make sure that's Melach the Nasa Achirim. And that way we could have the proper Kabbalah Satorah through the Nasa of Nishma that we just want to do. Just tell us what it is. And with that, Mitzvah, we start to be Zeicher to the right Hashpois and Shefa for all Yom Tovim and the Bias Mashiach Tzkin Kareem. Amen. Yeah. How do you stop this?